Welcome back to the Barrel Project. This is episode 116 with Christina Prucoli. This is a long overdue episode, and to be honest, it couldn't be any more fitting to have Christina on International Women's Day. Christina and I have been trying to connect for weeks since she won the European national title, and she's got an amazing story, and she's an amazing person. So it's just so fitting. She shot against Cinzia, and who's also an amazing person. Christina has taken on a journey that has offered her an opportunity to go from, and be the first person to go from barebow to potentially the Olympics. And that's a huge undertaking. And I don't know if we can all appreciate what work Christina's putting in. And we're going to talk about that today. Don't forget, monthly giveaways, the Patreon exclusives, the coaching content on the Barebow Shooter School. It's all available. Join Patreon. It's in the link in the bio of all of our pages, including in the comments or information in the show details below. So always remember that there is just so much more barebow information out there, and it's just a small way for you to support the Barebow Project and for the Barebow Project and continue supporting barebow. Hope you consider it. If not, that's fine too. There's a ton of free information available. Thanks for watching the Barebow Project, and once again, thank you for all of your support. And more importantly, thank you to our sponsors and partners, and they play a huge role in the success of barebow. With that being said, enjoy.
She's a favorite,
yes,
from this
match,
but also she's a,
it's that pressure.
Yeah, it's that pressure of knowing you've just got to win it.
Yep, you've got that target on your back. That's the trouble with it.
You've got I am the world record holder, the leading archer going into the time.
Yep.
She builds. And
on
a 10.
Ten. Yep.
Solid grouping.
Good grouping there.
Yeah. So, 10 to go, 2 up, 9 to split.
Oh, and she responds.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Got her coach there.
9
there.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
And she's just saying that. I think she's actually saying sweep the leg. Just a reference to the Karate Kid.
That's a good reference, actually.
Hey. Oh, there we go. Yep. Okay. She takes that. That might not be good enough.
Yeah. Christina.
Ooh, bit out wide again. Yep.
But that's a 9.
Yeah.
Still rather solid. So, a 10 to take it, 9 to put it square.
Oh, and
that's
a 10.
A 10.
Yep.
That's the
there
quality
we go.
For. But can she go for that 10-10-10?
Oh, just out.
But
either way, she's got
incredible
that.
Incredible grouping. That's a nice.
Yep.
Solid, but I mean, when you go.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful,
absolutely beautiful.
Shoot. Beautiful.
She knows she's got that.
Whoa. What a way to finish.
Oh, no. I know.
And.
Solid attempt
to finish.
She could do
solid
there,
attempt to finish.
Good shot there.
Amazing shooting from the both of them. But really, Christina put on the game on the last.
She did.
On the last three.
Absolutely amazing.
I want to say thank you for coming on the Barebow Project. This is a little bit of a unique episode. Yes, we're going to be talking about barebow, but we're also going to be talking about some other stuff. And it is only fitting that someone like yourself is a guest on the Barebow Project on International Women's Day. It's kind of cool.
It's totally cool. Very, very cool.
It's kind of cool. And I feel like I do a not so great job all of the time with all of the tournaments and Lancaster. I said it in the Lancaster episode from this year about with covering the ladies, because I get caught in between, and I have close friends On both sides, but definitely more on the men's side, and I get pulled in that direction, and I'm just admitting it's a fault of my own, and I want to do better with that. And this is kind of not it's not we've been trying to record this episode for a while. Where are you at right now, by the way?
I'm in San Marino,
You are in San
so
Diego. How much longer are you there for before you come before you go?
I don't my return ticket is somewhere in September, but I'm taking it as it goes. We're just gonna see what happens.
So that's so cool. Dual citizenship, all that stuff. So anyways, oh, we have a guest that's probably gonna join us from Patreon. So I'm gonna let this so Christina, you've had one heck of a 2024 already. Your journey started, I guess we were just talking about it a little bit. You're pursuing the Olympics.
Yes, currently I
So
am.
let's so yes, you won European national indoor national championship, and we will get to that. But I want to go back to when this idea of representing your country, San Marino, really started. Can we just lead with that?
Sure. This is interesting because I just recently have been sharing it with the Olympic Committee here and the Archery Federation here. When I was 8 years old, I was watching the Olympics on TV and I saw archery. And in fact, it was Jay Bars and Michele Frangilli. And it was just really incredible. And I was like, I'm gonna represent San Marino in archery one day. And that was like, I would sing around the house and dance. And like, I had this dream. And I even found my journal. I should have brought it with me to San Marino. I don't have it here. I have it home in America. But I even found a journal entry that was like, I'm gonna go to the Olympics one day for San Marino. And that dream slept dormant. Like, just I even personally forgot about it for so long. And then when COVID happened, I was like, I've always enjoyed marksmanship. I've been a martial artist, and I just was like, I've always really have found some enjoyment and zen in the idea of marksmanship. And I was like, you know what, this is the time to pick up a bow. And I was very fortunate that I have access to Rising Phoenix. And they are an incredible training school in just in Troy, Michigan, only 15 minutes from my house. Like, my whole life, I could have had access to them, but I had no clue about them until COVID time. And when I went to Rising Phoenix, I was like, I want to go to the Olympics one day for San Marino. And they're like, oh, okay. But I also was like, I don't want to do the bow with all this stuff on it. I just want to shoot a bow that's really natural. And so they're like, okay, we'll try bare bow. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll try bare bow. And I had a really great coach, Frank Chero. He was really fundamental in the beginning of my practice and journey in this. And after about 8, 9 months, he's like, you know, you really should try to let's do some tournaments. And I was like, okay, sure, you know. And I started doing stuff in Michigan. And of course, there was like really nobody in Michigan, so it was kind of easy to be like the number one. And then he was like, let's go to nationals. And I was like, yikes. And that was like my first time in Virginia, and I was very nervous. But women like Susan Snyder, I mean, like, all these women were so welcoming to me and so warm. And I was like, wow, this is an excellent community. This is something that, you just don't see sometimes, a lot of women being very, very supportive. Sometimes it can be very competitive, as it is, and I'm sure in the men's arena as well. But it was very welcoming, very supportive. I mean, Melody Richards was like a doll pulling me in. This wonderful woman, Mona, I hate that I'm forgetting her last name, but she was like so sweet and dear. She's out in California, I believe, or maybe Colorado. And Fawn was, right out the gate. Same thing with Chrissy, just like very welcoming. And I think I placed 12th or 16th or something like that. And I was like, well, wow, I'm only 9, 10 months into this, and I'm somewhere in the
Morning.
top 20. I was like, this is pretty incredible. Maybe I should pursue this further. And then I just started pursuing it further. And then we moved into indoors, and that's where I felt like going from outdoors into indoors, I was like, just I felt like it really kind of like just kind of gelled together. And I went to my first Lancaster in 2022, and I came third in that. And I was really proud of the work that I did to get there. And I was it, that kind of ignited a bigger fire in me. And so during the spring of 2022, I reached out to San Marino, the Archery Federation. I was like, hey, kind of okay. You guys interested in letting me represent you? It's kind of been a lifelong dream of mine. And they're like, yeah, sure. You do bare bow? Don't you want to do Olympic? And I was like, no. I like bare bow. And they're like, okay, well, I know. They're like, come on, switch to Olympic. And I was stubborn a bit. And I was like, no, I like bare bow and I want to do field. And they're like, okay, well, the world championships is going to be in Yankton in the fall. So prepare yourself and we'll support you. And so I was like, okay, great. And that was the first time I was able to represent San Marino. And that was just, it was a huge, huge dream. I mean, I remember when I got the jersey and I was just like, I cried. I was like, this is something that I didn't realize how much meaning it had to me. I mean, it was kind of like it didn't really sink in until I ha like held it in my hand, you know? And then that was a great experience to shoot against amazing world archers. I mean, like Lena, Cinzia, Christine, the French woman. I mean, like it just we're talking about like goats of bare bow in the world
Indeed.
at Yeah, exactly. So it was incredible. And I learned a tremendous amount.
That's
And then
awesome.
I kept, yeah, and then I just took it right into 2023 Lancaster,
Yeah,
where
shot
Lena
awesome.
handed it to me so
Yeah.
well. I mean, like, are you kidding me? I don't think I've ever seen anybody shoot like that.
She's a bare bow monster when it comes to
Freight train.
freight train's probably a better word. She's almost unshakable. I mean, like, very unoften do we see something that's, just a little, but she's like, she turns around, she looks at Eric, she's whatever they say to each other, and then she's like, boom, back on it, yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with for sure, but so are you. So, and I think we've seen an uptick in your confidence, and I think I shouldn't maybe it's not confidence, maybe it's just determination, in some
Well, there's
regards.
definitely a lot of that.
We chat a lot, quite a bit offline. We chat about non-archery stuff. We chat about things that a lot of archers don't talk about: recovery, stress, mental health. We talk about those things, and I guess I think I would like us to dive into some of that stuff of how you approach that within your archery at some point in this conversation. But leading up to this point, you introduction in the sport, and you've been on the podcast before, and we've talked about some of those beginnings. But Lancaster, World Field, childhood dream, Lancaster again. And then when did the Olympic recurve portion of this dream become a reality?
So last year, when I finished at Lancaster for second, they were like, hey, just give it a try for the outdoor season. See what you can do. And they were like, if you can get the qualifying score, we will support you to come to the World Archery Championships. And I was like, I have, how do you not, how do you say no to that? I mean, like, I'm gonna kick myself in the butt later when I'm like 80 if I didn't say yes, you know? So I said, okay, let's give it a whirl. And Vittorio Agilo, who is like just a caring and kind human, was like, I got you. Don't worry. You don't have to figure out stabilizers, this, that. He was like, it's don't worry, I'm gonna sponsor you. And then so that was a huge support. And I had Rod Harper, who was helping me through doing World Field in 2022, carry over into Olympic. And then I gained some other additional really big support with Jay Bars. I went out to Utah to have some sessions with him because I really was looking to try to formalize myself in the Olympic method and kind of really understand a distinguishing between the bare bone Olympic and or kind of understand how I can meld them.
And you
So it
can.
really
And you
and you
can.
can and you absolutely can. You absolutely can. So it started last year. And for anybody who's in the air anywhere close to Toronto, there is a archery group up there, a club, and the Archers of Caledon. And every month from April to September, they do a weekend where it's a double 720 both days. So it's 1440s 2 days in a row. So I was like, well, that's where I was like, I need 720s in order to get this score so I can go to the World Archery. So I started going up there every month and I made really lovely connections. Crispin Abduanis, he's up there, incredible. Stephanie's up there. I mean, like some really incredible Olympic archers. Devang is up there. There's a really good pool of people and they're super friendly and accessible. It's a great community. They have like awesome fun lunch breaks. It's like they're like taking orders, like go down the like row of archers, like who would like a hamburger, who would like a hot dog, who would like a it's just so friendly. So if anyone's in the Toronto area, go up to the Archers of Caledon this summer and gain some skills and being in a tournament that's like intense like that. And they shoot super fast. There's no A line, B line. They're like shoot, pull the arrows, get back, shoot, pull the arrows, get back. It was incredible.
Love it.
So I busted my butt and did month after month after month. And I thought I missed my deadline because they were like, if you need to get your qualifying scores by end of June, and I didn't achieve it at that time. I mean, like I was like right at the edge. I was right at the
I
edge, like
remember.
608, 609. I was like, And then finally, I was like, I'm glad I'm like, it's whatever. I put a crazy amount of effort in. I mean, I picked up an Olympic bow in March, and then I went the second week or the first week of July back to the Arches of Caledon, and I busted out a 623, and I was like, will you still take me? And they're like, yes, we will. We'll pay the late fee. And I was like, yes. And then that was incredible. So I went to Berlin. And it was horrible weather. Oh, the wind, the rain. And it was my first real big Olympic recurve tournament. I mean, I shot on the bail with Alejandra, who took first. I mean, in qualifications, it's just like, the rain didn't even matter to her. She was just like, I mean, I learned so much just by being in the environment of these other archers. It was incredible. And then when I came back, I was still shooting Olympic, and I don't really care for Olympic in indoor at all. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to like it a little bit more now, but I kind of was like, okay, I want to go back to barebow. And they're like, how about you go back to barebow to do the indoor European Championship in Turkey? And I was like, okay, let's do it. But then they had a horrible, earthquake, so that got canceled. And so they asked me again this last fall. They're like, "Do you want to go since you were going to do it before?" And I was like, "Why not?" I'm like, I kind of feel like if you hold the concept that doing something different than what would get you to the Olympics is going to hurt you, then it's going to hurt you. For me, I don't know. It's all about the perspective in which you hold. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. Let's go to the European Championships and see what happens.
I would manifestation is real,
Oh,
and
yes, it is.
you 100% have what you've manifested this for sure, but what you've done that with hard work. And
Oh, for
I
sure.
think a lot of people think like, oh, I have this dream. Well, yours wasn't a dream. Yours was a reality. It wasn't really a dream. When you were 8 years old, it was a dream. But it became when you picked up a bow 4 years ago. I can't believe I'm saying that. 4 years ago. And then took your prior dream. You're like, I'm turning this into a reality. Yes, it's unconventional. It's an unconventional path in some ways due to your dual citizenship and San Marino, but it's still, you found a way. And I think out of everything that we talk about today and your prior experiences doing amazing at Lancaster and Baribeault, and then, what we're leading up to, I think that that's the message that other women specifically, because it's International Women's Day, but also in general, I think, sometimes you just have to go after it. And I think that our
Absolutely.
society in some ways kind of puts up some barriers every once in a while, and some people feel defeated before they really even get an opportunity to go after it. And you're sort of a you're a, you are a living journey of manifestation and becoming successful in your own right, in your own way, and something that you love to do. And I guess, like, if there's any message for upcoming barebow shooters, female shooters, youth shooters of all genders, you all should listen to that and take that in, because it's a big deal. I think that's why I was so I wanted to have this podcast with you, because we've talked offline and how much I think that just that part of this journey needs to be highlighted. I think it's great that you won indoor nationals. I think it's for European indoor nationals. We'll talk about Karate Kid. But I just want people to realize, like, there's more to this conversation than X, than hitting X's and winning head to heads. And that's the part that isn't highlighted in most places. And I want to keep highlighted here. So I apologize. One of my rants. Sorry, everyone.
I
Sorry,
know you're
not
all good.
sorry. So anyways, moving on. We've covered a lot of that journey, that Olympic journey. Is there anything else within that Olympic timeline leading up to European nationals that you really want to highlight? Or you think we kind of covered it?
I think we kind of covered it. I mean, going to European indoor championships, I was really eager for it last year before I even switched to Olympic. I was like, this is going to be my pinnacle of my end of my bare bow, you know? And then when the earthquake happened, I was like, you know what? This is a sign, jump into Olympic and just don't worry about it. And then the Federation was like, hey, did you still want to do that? And I was like, you know what? Because I still really, I mean, I love bareboat. I really do. I really do. Olympic at 70 meters, there's nothing like that. But bareboat is just, you know, it is, it's, there's something really so raw to it that it just, I don't know, it just feels very, it resonates deep with me.
You're spot on. I mean, not that we wanted to go down the barebow Olympic comparison path, but the shots, while there's carryover from a coaching standpoint, in my opinion, there's carryover in regards to, like, the feel at full draw. There's absolutely carryover. But I think what's kind of cool is that you can relax a little bit more in an Olympic recurve in regards to, like, the target panic just doesn't, it's not there. And it is for some Olympic recurve shooters, but that is 100% mostly a mental issue. Whereas in barebow, we deal with it in a different way. But it's probably having, you were referencing indoor shooting Olympic for indoor, and how kind of, I don't want to say, do you think it's boring in some
Well,
regards?
I just kind of feel like I'm like, okay, great. I can break these knocks a lot more easier. And
Well, you can
I
switch
don't
to
know. I
three
just,
spot, but
true. But I really just like the sight picture of the single. I mean, I do training purposes wise mix it up, but I don't know. I just feel, I'm like, why do I have all this aid for 18 meters? It's just like, it just
I'm
seems
going to
like such
disagree.
an unfair game. I'm like, what is the point of indoor on for Olympic? Like, I just, to me, it
Yeah.
just, that's just my opinion on it. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'd rather not have all of this for 18 meters.
I get it. I also think that it is fun hitting the center all the time. I don't get
Oh, sure. Yeah, it
I
feels great to make like groups that are like, sure, but
like that,
I
yeah.
mean, but instant gratification only lasts so long,
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're 100% correct. It's still competitive in its own right, though. When you see,
Absolutely.
like if you follow
Absolutely.
Casey Caulfield on Instagram, and you see
Oh, yeah.
the preparation she's doing right now for indoor finals here in America, and
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
punching close to 300s, and that's
Yeah. Sick.
incredible, incredible. And I mean, and I've watched
Yeah.
Casey grow up from a distance and have known her and her family for a very long time, and watching her shoot from just a little shit to what she is now, and the drive in that kid. So it doesn't matter what discipline you shoot. What are you driven to do? Are you driven to use those aids and shoot perfect scores? Because essentially, that's what compound is. It's the same thing.
Sure, absolutely.
No.
That's why I have never picked up a compound
Yeah.
bow.
Anyway, we've rabbit holed enough on that topic. So we go from this transition of bare bow to Olympic. You start playing with some Olympics. Sam Riegel says, "Hey, you want to go to Europe? Let's talk about that journey. And let's talk about the preparation for that journey, because like I said, your drive that has definitely upticked from a distance, in my opinion, has just been unshakable in some ways. Let's talk about that, because you went up against the best of the best out there and really looked comfortable. Very comfortable.
I had a really great time, and I knew that it was going to be a great tournament. I knew it was going to be great. I was like, I felt prepared. And every time, like when I went to Lancaster in 2023 and I got second after Lena, I knew I was prepared. So when I was heading over to Croatia for the European Indoor Championships, I was ready. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm gonna bring a medal home to San Marino, is all I thought in my head. And I had no clue that I was making history for San Marino, because San Marino has never achieved a medal in archery before.
No way.
So I'm the yeah. So it was like, it was so multifaceted, but I was like, I knew I was going to do it because I felt very strong. I felt very prepared. During qualifications, I had a couple of times where, it just, some things just don't fly the way you want them to fly.
Yeah.
It was great having people that I was able to connect with. I met a lovely woman from Great Britain, Sarah Hubbard. She's the one who
Oh,
currently holds
yeah.
a, oh, she's in, she's got the best sense of humor. She's actually the one who was commentary on the finals.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was doing the she was doing the announcing.
Nice.
Yeah, and also it was fun. Leo was there from Sweden, and so was Eric. And so it was nice to have some somewhat familiar faces while being in a very different experience, because world archery events, especially World Archery Europe events, are just different than USATs and things that I've experienced before, So it was nice to have some familiar faces there and meet some really great people. But I knew I was gonna do well, because I prepared really hard. I was shooting really great numbers in practice, and I just was like, I'm going there and I'm gonna really do well. I just carried that,
So
that belief.
let's talk a little bit about that preparation. What did your preparation look like going into European Championships?
Well, so I work with Rod Harper, and we do kind of a periodization calendar that he's taken off of kind of Kaminsky's thing, and we've kind of shifted it a bit. And so I feel like that I've really started to take time to notice my trending in my percentage of my weeks of where my scores were at. And then we could really tailor it to what numbers in the week I was doing and to where to get myself at that peak. So I was finding, at my 90% week is where I was every month was that was like I was really hitting it. So we just had to organize it backwards from the date of the tournament, how to put that sequence in order so that I would be ready in February.
What kind of things are you doing for your shooting? Like, what are you doing in your practice schedule, your periodization schedule? What are you doing? What's your high volume day weeks look like? What's your lower volume look like? Are you doing specific drills or SPTs, or what are you doing? You don't have to
So
go into great
I
detail, just general
yeah,
overview. What are you doing?
general SPTs are like one of my favorite things for bare bow. I feel like that is where you gain a lot of patience for your shot and also the confidence to know that when you're ready to go, you're going. I did a lot of something that I learned, a fellow archer, a friend, Loretta, she works with disabled, she's a coach for archers with disabilities in Michigan at Rising Phoenix. And I never knew of the north, south, east, west center drill before. And so I started incorporating that at the end of my practice when I was really used to just pounding the yellow and it was feeling great to switch my eye off the yellow and to try to do an arrow at, noon, an arrow at 6, or an arrow at 9, an arrow at 3, and then go from the white, the black, the blue, the red, and then doing that in the yellow.
Interesting. What's that called?
I call it the north, south, west, east center.
I like
That's what I
it.
call
Well,
it.
so you're deliberately trying to shoot arrows in that location.
Yeah, so I
I
try
like
to
it.
get so
Yeah.
I
Okay.
yeah. So
Yeah.
I but you do it concentrically from the white to the black to the
Yeah.
blue to the red to the yellow.
Yeah. Yes, we were taught that when I was younger. That's a kind of an old school JOAD Olympic recurve drill that I did when I was a kid, and I
I
completely
never even
forgot
heard of
about it.
it.
I don't know what it's called though. I do remember doing it though, and I probably
I don't know,
you're
cardinal
jogging my memory,
directions.
like you're reaching back into those files that I buried of JOAD when I was a kid, and that's cool, and it makes sense. Aiming off drills are extremely important in all aspects of it.
Absolutely.
Being comfortable with that sight picture, so that's great. You're
Yeah,
not
so that's something. And a lot of arrows. A lot of arrows.
yeah.
My max arrow a day was reaching like 325.
Wow.
So that was at 100%. That would be the heaviest in my day. And then the just percentages would shift it for the week. One week would be at 70%, one of those max arrows, I vacillated and it was great. I really it helped build more confidence in myself when I got to see the trend. I was like, okay, in my 70% week, my scores aren't really the greatest. In my 80% week, they start to go up. In my 90% week, I mean, for me, it didn't work. I think the whole Kaminsky calendar, the idea is that your 100% week is like when you're like peak. That's when you're supposed to be. For me, it's at my 90. I don't know. That's just where it is for me. So when I got to see the trends, I got to kind of be more confident. And I was like, oh, okay, this is the week. This is the week. I'm ready, like this is when it's gonna come. And leading up to it, I was in the 280s and feeling like fire. And then I came to Italy a week before to kind of transition and settle in a little bit. And then I drove over to Croatia for the tournament. And I got there. I was feeling still pretty strong, but I shot a 276 both days and or both games and qualifications. So I was kind of proud of myself for being like consistent. Of course, there were some shots I wish I could have taken back. I was like, damn, did I really put a six out there? One of my favorite things was when, because Leo was on the next bale next to me. And I was like, how's it going? He's like, and I was like, The six. And I'm like, look at this six. And he's like, you got to be careful. They're going to send you back to the States.
That's funny.
I just, it is
It was funny.
hilarious. And yeah, so it was great. So I was happy. I was able to play second. So I felt pretty good about that. I was just above, Alicia, she was, or no, Lisa, she's a French woman. She was in third, just 1 point behind me, and I shared a bal with her. She's a strong shooter. So I was feeling pretty confident. It was a very long tournament, though. That's something that I feel Europe World Archery has made a big mistake on. It was ridiculous how many days we were there. I only The first, my first elimination match was the only thing I had that day. One match.
So are
And
so they don't line
then
it
I
up
didn't
like
shoot for a whole nother day. And then
okay.
the next, and then after
Yeah.
that, I had two matches.
Why do you think
It
that is?
was.
I mean, I've never been at a match, a World Archery match like that, so I don't have any idea, but
I think it's the money.
that's fine. That's fair.
I do. I do. I
Doesn't
mean,
pay for
I was
itself,
just.
so
It doesn't pay for itself clearly, but I mean to have archers and whole teams be there and only have like 15 minutes of competing in 2 days.
yeah.
Like I just feel like it was really poorly organized in that sense.
Yeah.
And there was clearly space enough to.
Oh, you just froze on me.
Sure. Yeah, I just feel like it could have been organized better. To have an archer's stay, 2 days where they're only going to compete for 15 minutes and then having to wait again. It was
Yeah, it's wild.
just, yeah, it is wild. And then it's like, of course you're going to practice, but it was, yeah, the timeline was, I also feel like that is a reason why the numbers were much lower
Yeah.
than what they had last year when it was canceled in Turkey. For sure.
The
The
amount of
money,
money it
the.
costs an archer to be there has got to be insane. Or like if you have international or national support from your national governing body, that's a different animal. But at the same time, it doesn't look at the money you're costing these people. It's still going to
Yes.
cost the money out of their pocket in some regard. So you're just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it's difficult. A lot of nations, a lot of I probably every single country that I spoke to were like, this is ridiculous. I mean, we're here to compete, but yet we're not able to, it
Yeah.
was pretty sad. And I hope that World Archery Europe like here's the feedback because it was pretty loud. It was pretty loud
Was
how
it
people were
loud
feeling
from
about
the
it.
other disciplines as well?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And a lot of, and I mean, a lot of really great Olympic archers were there, but a lot of them decided not to come, obviously because it's an Olympic year. But they're also because of the cost. They're like, this is for me to go here for a European championship. Yes, they probably want that in there. Their experience realm, but the reality is that they're like, it's not worth the money.
Yeah.
So.
So let's talk about so qualifications went well.
It
Let's
did. It did. I got through this wonderful woman named Ingrid from Serbia. She's a strong shooter. I don't know her background, but she's got to be my age or older. She was a solid shooter. And that was my only match of that day. There
I'm
was
trying to
nothing the day after.
pulling up Insanio and looking at the results here.
And so then the next day after that, I went against this wonderful woman from Iceland. And I saw her a couple times during qualifications. Either she was like she had something groups pretty tight, or she was like a bird shot. So it was kind of like a wild card. I wasn't sure what was going to happen with her. I luckily had not too much difficulty. We did have one tie, In one end we tied. But my real kind of like challenge match was against the French, Lisa. Because her and I in qualifications were so close in scores, and I knew that that is where the hardest match before finals would be. And I also knew that determined whether I was going to be in a gold and silver match or the bronze and no medal, you know? So I took it with like, okay, this is the time. Put on the gas, you know what to do, and just do what you came here to do. And I was able to make it through there pretty cleanly. I think it was my first, I was, I know I started noticing a trend. My first end strong of an elimination match. My second one is shit. And then my third and fourth are strong. Seriously, like if you look up on it, it's like 27 or 28 is the first, then it's like 23 or 25, and then it's 29, 29. Like it's just like my second, I don't know what happens. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good, I got this. And then it's maybe, I don't know, ego or something, what happens? I don't know what happens at second end, but the second end isn't my greatest. And then I was able to make it through that. And then I was like, okay, I'm in the gold and silver. This is incredible just even to be here. And I was thinking, I know that I'm gonna be happy with either. I'd be happy even with silver. I'm so happy, you know, like I'm already just feeling it. And I, at that time is when I learned that San Marino has never received a medal in archery before. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm already making history. This is huge honor. And I was excited because Cinzia, you know, we have become friends now. Like, so I was like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be so much fun, you know, because it's going to be somebody who, I mean, I had the good fortune of shooting against her at Lancaster in 2023. And I feel like she was having like an off time, shooting. So I say it to myself that I don't really feel like I won against her because I felt like she just wasn't on. So, but
I don't
this
think that's a
time.
fair statement. I think you need to. I understand why you're saying that because we're so used to seeing Chinsia perform at such a high level all the time. But don't discount the fact that you shot at an incredibly high level during that match. So
I
don't be
did. I did.
like don't do that to yourself because she's a freaking shooter, and in head-to-head matches, and we kind of joke around, like we call them shit shows because they really can be. You can hit one person that shot a 500 indoor score that hits a hot streak, and they can knock out somebody that's just in that they normally wouldn't come close to. But at the same time, like sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield, and you were a force to be reckoned with. And we'll talk about those ends and some of your secret sauce that got you through that I picked up on immediately when you sent me the link. And I was like, are you? And then I heard them talk about it. So we'll get to that. But anyway.
Yeah, so I was excited for the match, and you know, during it has been, you know, a while that Chinsia has been waiting for a tournament for her to have the world record, because she has been shooting beyond the world record at like many events and just where they're not able to get credit for it. So she made the world record in qualifications, you know, and I was like,
556, right? 275, 281.
But she's been shooting in the 280s at tournaments over here in Europe comfortably. You know what I mean? Like, and just not able to get credit because it's not a, you know, a sanctioned
Starfita.
whatever event. So, you know, when she got that, I was so happy for her. I mean, like you could just see it. She was like, finally, you know, like finally I can, you know, gain it. So I was so happy for her. And I kept thinking, I'm like, okay, well, she got the world record. That's her time. I'm gonna get the gold. I was like, we're gonna have the best weekend ever together. She gets a world record, I'm gonna get the gold. This is gonna be great, you know? And so I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous. I was nervous but confident. It was the strangest physiological experience I've probably had. I know that the Lancaster stage is stressful because of the cameras and the interviewing and, but there's something different about a European Championship elimination. I mean, there wasn't that many people in the crowd. I did have the entire GB team like cheering me on, which felt great
That
because
was cool. I could hear that in the background.
I'm the solo archer from this like really small country that like majority of people don't know of, so I'm like alone there basically, so it was really awesome to have the GB supporting me and,
Awesome.
just I was nervous. I was nervous because during practice, the prep before you go into the finals area, she's like tossing down 30s, like she's got another walk in the park. And I was like, okay, I got to bring 30s. I have to bring 30s. This is the only way it's going to happen. I've got to bring 30s. And that's all I kept thinking in my head. I'm like, I just got to bring 30s.
I don't want to spoil it. I'll put a cut up shortened version of the last arrows for each shooter in the episode after I edit it, and
Okay.
everybody can watch it. So you did bring 30s and then some.
I
You brought
did.
your best interpretation of Lena and turned it into now, no, this is Christina, because you were unshakable after that first end. The first end, you were kind of like, okay, because I think she shot a
The
30,
first.
right?
She thought
They're
she shot a
29,
28.
28.
I think she got a 28 the first end, and I got a 26.
26, that's what it
Because
was. And then
I
all
had
of a
an
sudden, your
eight.
demeanor changed. And
Yeah.
I'll put the link to the entire shoot up and with the commentary in this episode. But things changed. And what are some of the key components that allowed you to focus on that end goal right there?
So there's been a kind of a silly joke between Paul Yeager, Rod Harper, and I. Before I left for Europe, Paul was like, just sweep the leg.
Yeah.
And I laugh because I'm an 80s baby,
Oh, I love it. Love
I
it.
love
I love
Karate Kid,
it.
right? And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna sweep the leg. And I just kind of made it this like mantra. That I was like, this is the, I'm here to sweep the leg. And I just was like, and you can see it in the video. I'm like, sweep the leg.
Oh, plain
Like, you
as
can
day.
see me.
And not everyone is going to recognize that, especially if you haven't seen the movie. And it's funny because in the movie, like that guy's like a bad character,
Yeah, Johnny's horrible.
but it he's a bad character, but in the same time, like it's a competitive thing. Like once
Yeah.
you're competing, it doesn't matter what the sport is, it doesn't matter, like you have to have that chip on your shoulders that I'm here to win no matter what I have to do within the rules, of course. And that was, and you could see it. And I watched your lips move and I'm like, what did I just
Is
see?
she saying?
And then it happened again. And then was it Sarah was like, I think she's saying, or whoever was in the booth,
Yeah.
like, I think she's saying sweep the leg, but I don't know if they caught, if they knew what it was. And I'm like, oh my
She
God.
knew what it was because her and I, she's a left-handed shooter, and her and I were on the line at qualifications. So later I told her, she's like, "What are you saying to yourself?" And I was like, "Do you really want to know?" And she's like, "Yeah." I was like, "It's gonna sound kind of silly, but it's sweep the leg from
Funny.
Karate Kid." And she was like, "What?"
Did she know what Karate Kid was? Oh,
Yes.
okay. All right. I didn't
A
know
lot
because
of
I
other
don't.
Europeans don't, but
Yeah. It's just so good. So when you guys, I'm gonna put a little up, actually, like right here.
Sweep the leg. No mercy. Years ago, this one, just a step up, really. 10, 10, 10.
Yep.
10 to secure European champion title.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Absolutely
beautiful.
Beautiful. She yes. knows she's got.
I'm going to put in a little joke. That video to for everyone to see that I sent to you. Sweep the leg.
Well, you are right with that competitiveness, because here's what it really started. So at Lancaster, in the eliminations, for me to make it on the stage or not, I was shooting against Ava Jones, who was 15 at the time. She just had her birthday, right? And, you know, I was trying to do my best, but, you know, sometimes things just go the way they are. And I also was like, kind of like inside, really rooting for her, even though I was competing against her. Like, I didn't have that competitiveness to her. And I was like, I was even telling her, I'm like, you're not in your pace. Be in your pace. Like, I was like helping her instead of like being in my game.
I love it.
And so after, you know, I was disappointed I didn't make it to the stage. And Paul and Rod were like, you gave it to her. I'm like, no, she earned it. But they're like, yeah, but you weren't being really competitive. You weren't bringing it forwards. And when you go to Europe, you got to sweep the leg.
Yeah.
And that's how it all. And so I was like, you're right. I got to sweep the leg. Like, I'm sweeping the leg. Done.
Well, you certainly did. You rattled off some pretty impressive scores. And I don't have that pulled up in front of me. Hold on a second.
You know what they are. I had no clue that I was kind of just watching the set points and I didn't really realize that I shot a 30.
Yeah.
I did know my first arrow I remember was an 8, then a 9, and then another 9, I think. And then every first arrow when I came to the line or the first two ends, I was just nervous. So that the second end, I shot a 7. I was like, ugh, you know? But then I followed it up with two 10s, you know? Yeah. And that first 10, it was like such a clean inside out. Huge charge to me.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I've ever shot such a clean inside out. That thing was like the perfect diameter around it all the way. I was like, I'm doing this. It's done.
You rattled off. What were the final set points?
It went from 2-2. And then 2-4-2, and then 4-4.
Yeah.
And then I took it.
Yeah, and your last end, all three arrows were like almost touching, weren't they?
All touching.
Yeah. It was just amazing. It was so amazing. And I don't want to give too many details out because I want people to go watch it, because one, it's good for
Barry.
Two, it's good for you and Chinsia. And in general, you just have to see it with your own eyes. Like, I don't, you know, we could go detail for detail on it, but it's such a good match. I mean, it's
best match of my life, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down. The lessons that I learned in the match against Lena and Lancaster was huge. There's all these little things that kind of built up to this. I sort of, in all honesty, gave up a bit in the match against Lena. I was like, it's over. You know what I mean? I really did, in all honesty. And Rod tells me all the time, he's like, don't you ever give up like that again. He's like, what are you doing? You know? But it was true. I did kind of start to acquiesce and like, I'm like, well, there's no coming back from this. This woman's like drilling 11s, like, you know? So that was a huge lesson. You know, not having enough competitive nature in me the next year and not getting on the stage with Ava was another big lesson. So I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. In this moment, I'm a very kind and loving and gregarious and outgoing person. But I was like, you know what? When I'm on the line, sweep the leg. It's not about whether I like you or not, or if I think you're an amazing person, or how much I want you to win and do your best. Right now, I'm sweeping the leg. That's
the message
just
of the day.
So I was able to make the transition.
I love it. That's perfect. It's a perfect way to kind of like approach the end of the podcast, because that's really the message. You know, there's the previous message we talked about, but it's that I used to tell Maggie, and it took her a while to get it. I used to always say to Maggie, flip the switch. You could come off the line and be super cheerful and hugging and talking to people and being excited and all that stuff. But once you step on a line, you got to flip the switch. Nothing else
Yeah,
matters.
but I think what's even more important about that is that understanding what that switch is. It's not about just changing your demeanor. It's getting into a state of confidence, a state of presence. It's understanding more than just making the flip. It's like you have to have a honed, trained state that you go into.
Yep, love it. I you're you couldn't have said it better. And your I think your growth within this sport as a person, not just as an archer, but as a person. And we didn't even get to talking about the recovery and mental health stuff. That might be an episode for another day. Because that's important stuff too. But I think that all plays a
Absolutely.
role in your ability to have developed into the person that you've become. I think the other aspect of that though is that some people dive into it into archery, and archery then becomes their definition of them, and it's not what archery is. You are you.
No.
And archery doesn't define you. It doesn't matter if you're the best shooter or the worst shooter on the competition line. It doesn't define who you are. So, and I think people get sucked into it. There's a side of this sport that the sponsorship and the popularity and I'm not gonna say that I haven't fallen victim to that in some regards in the back in the day. Even in the beginning of this podcast, in some ways, I've talked about it before. I don't want to railroad the podcast about that topic, but and you've done it so, I don't want to call it, you manifested it yourself and have found that clarity and direction within the sport. And you are an amazing ambassador for all people in this sport. And your journey is in and of itself, sort of a spectacle that people should pay attention to and realize that the sky can absolutely be the limit if you're willing to put in the work and do everything you need to do to get there. So,
Absolutely, absolutely. I never knew that, just before my 41st birthday that I was going to start picking up a bow and taking on an international circuit in archery. I mean,
I love it.
so you just never know what's going to happen. I think if you stay open to the possibilities and be clear about what resonates with you, anything's possible. Like
Perfect.
right now, I got two tournaments to earn a seat for the Olympics. I got one in May in Essen, Germany, which is the European Outdoor Championships. And then I have in Antalya, Turkey, in June, which is, I think, stage one or two of the Grand Prix. I can't remember, but that's my second chance. And then there's the, last chance possibility, the wild card or white card. It's like a universality card that the Olympic Committee gifts to small nations and to specifically only females of small nations.
Sorry about that. That was
It's
another
okay.
thing that just quick blasted off. Real quick, and we're going in the right direction to kind of close this out. Where were you mentally going into the meeting with the Olympic Committee? Because you posted a lot about that.
I was nervous because, it felt like this is like the major leagues. You know what I mean? I was like out of Division One. I'm like into like this is like major leagues. Like I'm going to the Olympic Committee in San Marino to discuss the, well, first of all, they were wanting to congratulate me for making history and for bringing a medal to archery for San Marino. They were very honored for that, and they acknowledged my dedication. They acknowledged my tenacity. The Archery Federation president, he calls me the beast. It's funny.
It's a term of endearment.
It is a term of endearment here, the way it's said. And so I was nervous, but so excited and so honored. I mean, I'm walking down the halls of where these, other Olympians have been for my country. And it was huge. I was like, this is incredible.
I love it. Congratulations, Christina. I think you are one
Thanks.
of my favorite people in this entire sport. And I say that as like, there's people that we definitely need to pay attention to, and that without shooting barebow, you're still good for barebow, without a doubt. And you are someone who started in barebow and you're growing as a person and as an archer into another part of the sport. That's the persona that we need for people to look at barebow and say, okay, we need to pay attention to these people because they're doing more for our sport than just shouting barebow from the back of the and that is like such an important thing, and I want people to understand it and highlight it. And that's why I have so much respect for you and everything that you've done
Oh, thanks,
in
Frank.
your short journey in this sport. And shout out to Rod, great guy, Jaeger Archery Products. I have to hit up Paul Jaeger because he's a good dude. We don't agree on everything in certain aspects of life, but I love him like a brother. And he makes an amazing product. And
He
I
does.
he does. And he puts his heart and soul, him and Rod now as well, into
Yeah.
what he does. It has to be right. And if it's not right, he will fix it. I will tell you that.
Yes.
He is just, and it just, he just, so he's almost overly dedicated in some regards. And
Absolutely.
people don't get to see that side of Paul. And I just have tremendous respect for him and his support of barebow and archery in general. So,
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, very, very fortunate. From starting from Rising Phoenix and from Frank Chero to Rod Harper and to Paul Jaeger together, to the opportunity with J Bars. And now that I'm here, San Marino contracts Filippo Cellini. I don't he used to shoot on the Italian national team back in the 80s, actually.
Oh,
And
wow.
he used to coach the national Italian team. And now I believe he coaches like the German youth team, a Luxembourg team. But I just recently spent an intense weekend with him here in San Marino. Incredible technical feedback, really great coaching skills, really high elite level work that I have not seen out of any coaches I've ever been with.
Awesome.
So I feel very blessed for the people that have come into into this experience of archery, and that have helped really build me and get me ready for what I'm doing now for this dream. So I'm really grateful and just very fortunate for all these people who are behind me.
I love it. Well, I'm glad that you've been able to experience that stuff. How about going from, as we close up, I've said this 3 times now. How about going from watching J Bars shoot to working with J Bars? How cool is that?
I know. You know what's really funny is that when I met him, I was like, I saw you shoot in the Olympics when I was 8 years old, and I was like, I want to shoot archery. He's like, oh, okay, cool. And I was like, I don't think
That
it
sounds like
really,
Jay.
yeah, I'm like, I think he's heard that before, so I don't think it really landed on him. But it was like, for me, it was huge. And he is an incredible human. Like when I arrived to his home, he had the San Marino flag flying outside of his house. I mean, like what a welcoming, he was
Yeah.
like, okay, this is this girl's dream, to acknowledge that and really be, supportive behind it. It was great. I'm so fortunate. I really am.
Yeah. And
And
I
to
am so
people like you
happy.
too, Frank, to acknowledge and to offer opportunities for me to share this and to,
Absolutely.
yeah,
Yeah, well, I
so.
mean, like I said, we've talked along the way, and I know like when the Jay Bars conversation came up, I talked to Jay a little bit, just like, hey, I want to make this connection.
Yeah.
Jay's a friend of mine that developed out of, I knew Jay prior by taking the Dick Tone J-Bar seminar at Lancaster. Jay was a childhood idol of mine. And then I got the opportunity to eat dinner with Jay because Justin Hewish was there and I was there. Justin's a friend of mine from when we were kids. And we all went out to dinner. And it was like, I'm sitting here with Justin Hewish, Dick Tone, Rob Coffold, and Jay Bars. And I'm like, I am out of my element a little bit, realizing. And then I realized, like, you know, and then now they're like, I talk to Dick Tone often. I talk to Jay often enough. Justin, you know, it's just, you realize, like, it's, they're just human beings that are passionate about the sport. That's all they are. Same with the Brady Ellisons and the Casey Coffolds. They're just human beings that are passionate about sport. But now you are that human being representing other 8-year-old little girls in San Marino that might see you and say the exact same thing you said about Jay Bars.
Exactly.
Boom.
Exactly.
This episode is over on that.
That was a clincher.
Thank you so much, Christina. Have a wonderful day.
Thank
Have a wonderful
Frank.
Rest of your time in San Marino. And thank you for coming on the Barrel Project.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Frank.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.